the sacrifice that you made on the cross while we were still your enemies, while we were still waging war against you. You gave it all. You paid it all for us. So that we could have forgiveness of sins, that we could have reconciliation with you, that we could be at peace with you again. You put your love on the line for us. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the words that you spoke on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many times has that been true in our own lives that we've been chasing after, maybe even after something good, but we've done it in the wrong ways. Maybe we've been chasing after something totally wrong. But whatever it is, God, we know that there's forgiveness in you. And we thank you for that. Lord, as we prepare to hear your word today, I just pray that our hearts would be receptive, that we'd be open to what you have to say today. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, we're going to talk today about a tough topic. And so I just hope you know, as we enter into this message today, as I've wrestled this week with this topic, I've prayed that God would really speak to us in a fresh way about what it means to be people of forgiveness. And you've heard it in the songs that we've sung today. You've heard it in even what Christy shared earlier, that people are growing in their forgiveness. And now today we're going to talk about it together as well. I was really touched by what Christy shared and told the folks in Morning Song this as well. Christy said in what she shared that there was a point, you heard this, where they were listening to a certain kind of music and they had to switch it because of the language and whatnot. And then now they're singing worship songs. And I was reminded of what John Piper says. He says that worship or missions exist because worship doesn't exist. Missions exist because worship doesn't exist. And when I heard that and I heard that they were now worshiping, I thought to myself, that's why we do what we do. That we would worship the one true God, the one that saved our souls. And so that was so great to hear today. I want to open this message with a story that is, to be honest, a bit shaking, but I think it tells an accurate picture of what we're talking about this morning. Victoria Ruvalo lives in New York City. One day, Victoria is minding her own business. She's driving her car on a New York highway. There's a group of teenagers that are joyriding that night, and they are coming in the exact opposite direction on the same highway. One of those teenagers, just for fun, reaches into a grocery bag and pulls out a 20-pound frozen turkey and lobs it into the other lane of oncoming traffic. That 20-pound frozen turkey smashes through Victoria Ruvalo's windshield, breaks every single bone in her face. She nearly dies at the scene of this horrific accident. And after several surgeries and months of recuperation and indescribable levels of pain, scarring, and things that she'll live with for the rest of her life, Victoria decides that she will attend the court session where the young teenager that has done this horrible thing to her is going to be sentenced for his crime. The judge gives Victoria permission to speak in the packed courtroom. And with a steady, calm, convicted voice, Victoria says these words: "Ryan, there is no room in my heart for vengeance. I've asked the judge to be lenient upon you. And if my generosity will help you to mature into a responsible, compassionate, honest man, whose graciousness is a source of pride to your loved ones, then I will truly be gratified, and my suffering will not have been in vain." In a public courtroom, in front of a judge that was ready to sentence this young man, Victoria forgave him. And she demonstrated the power and the possibility of forgiveness. She demonstrated the power of forgiveness. We all hear that story and we think, what an amazing act. I don't know if I could have done that. But she also demonstrated the power and or the possibility of forgiveness, that we are able to forgive. When the judge heard Victoria's words, this tough young man, Ryan, broke down in tears, sobbing with remorse. And the judge is so moved that instead of giving Ryan the maximum penalty of 25 years, he sentenced Ryan to just 6 months in prison. Now, let me tell you this. We've all been wounded. We've all been scarred. We've all been hurt by someone else. We all have reason for forgiveness in our lives. We all have reason to be forgiven, and we all have reason to ask for forgiveness. It's easy to think of all the ways that we've been wounded, and all the ways that we've been slighted, and all the ways that maybe we've hurt others. But the reality is, we've done it too. We've done it too. We've said words that were way too quick. The reality is we've done some wounding in our days. The reality is we've slighted some people maybe in our days. We've had people gossip about us and we've gossiped about them. We've been dinged and we've been the one doing the dinging, so to speak. So here's the question. How do we become the kind of people that forgive? That forgive freely? Let me say this in as plain a way as possible. I just said we've all done this. Let me just rephrase this so you all know we're on level ground this morning. I've done it. I've wounded people. I've slighted people. I've hurt people. I've gossiped people about people. I've dinged people in my life. And I didn't even know that I was doing it at the time. And then I step back and think, I just did it again. So we all need forgiveness. And we all need to offer forgiveness. And so today I'm praying that God would speak to us in this room through this simple prayer that Jesus prayed. It's going to be on the screen this morning. Jesus prayed these words. And let's all say these words in our best outside voices together. And maybe we can have the lights up all across the room because I don't want anybody sleeping on the back row or, you know, kissing their spouse on the back row or anything in the dark, all right? Let's say these words together. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now, we all know the context of this. Jesus is being nailed to the cross by Roman soldiers. It is brutal. It is ugly. There is a lot of blood. There is a lot of pain involved in this. We know the physical pain. We talked last week about the spiritual angst of all of this. And in this moment, these executioners are nailing the very stakes into Jesus' wrists, into his feet. And in that moment, Jesus says, Father, forgive. Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Now, I want you to know, these executioners are not choir boys, friends. These are not model citizens. These people are professional legal murderers. These guys are so rough and tumble that the only job that they could give them in the whole Roman army was to be a professional executioner, nailing people to a cross all day long. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This isn't the longest prayer that's recorded in the Bible. This isn't the most kind of, you know, routine prayer even. This is 10 words that are grounded in courage, in guts, and in grit. You don't pray, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You don't pray a prayer like that unless there's something deep within you that actually believes that forgiveness can be offered in a moment like that. Here's an idea that I want you to wrestle with today. This will be on the screen. You can tell a lot about a person. You can tell a lot about a person's heart by what they pray for when they've been wronged. We've all been wronged. And you can tell a lot about the heart of a person by what they pray for. Jesus didn't pray for revenge. Jesus didn't say, Father, strike these guys dead. Jesus didn't say, Father, do to these guys exactly what's being done to me. Jesus prayed for grace. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Have you ever met somebody that when you push them, they push back? You ever meet a person like that? Like you have a little argument, a little difference of opinion, and you kind of push them a little bit. And you know what they do? They push right back. Now here's Jesus, and he's being pushed. He's being pushed all the way to a cross. He's being held all the way to a cross, and Jesus doesn't push back. Jesus is not some kind of, befuddled six-year-old that's pushing his friends back. They pushed me, I push back. Jesus says, no. I'm not praying for revenge, and I'm not praying for justice. I'm praying for grace. I'm praying for peace. Philippiansi says, grace is the most perplexing, powerful force in the universe, and I believe it is the only hope for our twisted, violent planet. Yancey would say, grace. If you want a good read, read anything Philip Yancey has written. Grace, grace is the only hope for our twisted planet. In fact, we all know this. In fact, secular people know this. Marilyn Elias, she writes for the USA Today. This is what she says. She says, the happiest people surround themselves with family and friends. They don't care about keeping up with the Joneses next door. They lose themselves in daily activities. And most importantly, they forgive freely. The happiest people forgive freely, which implies that the most unhappy people don't forgive at all. Or they hold tight to unforgiveness. So let's level the playing field and let's just make sure you all know where I'm coming from today. And I'll tell you this, this will be on the screen. It is incredibly hard to let go. I know it. It is incredibly hard to let go. Speaking for me personally, maybe not you. Maybe you let go way easier than I do. But for me personally, it is incredibly hard to let go. But unforgiveness is an epidemic in our world. I for a time, before we moved here, actually, I was meeting regularly with a counselor in Noblesville, Indiana. And I went in to meet with this counselor one day, and I was sitting on the couch in this counselor's office. And at one point, we were discussing an idea, a topic, a person in my life that I was wrestling with how to forgive that person. I won't go into it now, but let me just tell you, it was like level five. This wasn't like a 12-year-old kid, called my mother a bad name when I was little. I mean, this was a pretty big thing, and I was wrestling with, how do I forgive this person for what they did to me? How do I forgive this person for all of this? And in the course of that, I asked this counselor, I said, how many people have sat on this very couch, and they're wrestling with unforgiveness? How many people do that? And she said, Chad, 75% of the people who sit on that black leather couch are wrestling with some kind of unforgiveness in their heart. They're wrestling with how can they forgive somebody. And then she said this, if the church ever figured out a way to teach people how to be people of forgiveness, it would put me out of business, she said. And I told her, I said, if I ever have the opportunity to pastor again, I have a singular goal, among others probably, so it's not a singular goal, but one goal I would have is this. I want to put you out of a job. I think this church ought to be the most forgiving place in this town. I think we ought to put counselors out of jobs. Now, there's a lot of things we could still go to counselors for, but when it comes to forgiveness, we ought to be people that say, you know what? We're going to learn how to do that together as a church. Because many of us, it isn't that it's incredibly hard to let go. For many of us, we just don't know how to let go because we've never done it. And maybe we've never had a model of somebody that's done it either. Now, Jesus did it, obviously, but I mean an earthly model. Maybe you grew up with a parent and their whole thing was you don't forgive. You've been hurt, you don't forgive. Or you've heard somebody say, well, I can't forgive. Let me tell you, you're going to learn Latin this morning. Can't is Latin for won't. I simply won't forgive. It's not really Latin for won't, but I think it makes sense. We would say, I can't forgive. You know what you're really saying? I won't forgive. Now, Jesus demonstrates, and this will be on the screen, Jesus demonstrates that forgiveness is possible regardless of the circumstance. Some of you in this room, you would say, well, I can't forgive because you don't know my story. And you're right, I don't. I don't. You would say, I can't forgive because this person did this to me and it's too great. I can't forgive that. You would say, this person did this or this thing happened or I was wronged and I was troubled. And here's what I think Jesus would say to us today. You can forgive regardless of the circumstance. You can. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that it's like simple and quick. I think forgiveness is a process. Remember the passage of scripture where Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7? Like there's a sense in which forgiveness is an ongoing posture in our lives. And Jesus would say, it is possible to forgive regardless of the circumstance. People say, well, what kind of church are we going to be with this new pastor? Here's one kind of church we're going to be. We're going to be a church that leads the way in this part of the world in what it means to forgive. We're going to be people who forgive. Now, you say, well, how do we do that? Because that sounds really, really nice, right? Like, wouldn't it be great if we all could just forgive? I mean, wouldn't it be great if people could forgive us and we'd forgive them and it would all be great? How do you do that? Let me give you two Greek words that literally are Greek words. Two Greek words today about the idea of forgiveness. And I first heard this talked about by a guy named Steve Carter. I used to live next to Steve Carter's grandmother, and she used to say to me, you've got to listen to Steve's sermon from Sunday. And finally, like after she told me 10 or 12 times, I said, Lois, I'll listen to his sermon on Sunday. And one day, Steve was talking about the idea of forgiveness. And he talked about these two Greek words. The first Greek word, and these won't be on the screen, is the word aphemi. Aphemi. It means to release and to send away. It means to release something and to send it away. This is the word that Jesus uses when we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That word forgive there means to release something and to send it away. Now you can't release something that you haven't named. You can't release something that you haven't named, that you haven't drilled down and said, what is it that I'm really forgiving? What is it that I'm really releasing? You have to have a moment where you're incredibly honest with the weights that you're carrying and you're saying, that is what I'm offering forgiveness for. For some, the weights that you're carrying are kind of lightweight weights. Maybe it was somebody who pushed you when you were young. They wronged you when you were little. They said something that wasn't nice. It was a little jab. Just a little poke at your life. And I want you to know, that still warrants us offering forgiveness. It's not just saying, well, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. If we still remember it today, it is a big deal. But for others, some of you in this room, you have felt abandoned or betrayed. Or somebody left you when you were a child. And for you, you say, I don't even know how I can get rid of this weight. I don't know how I can let this go. I remember many years ago, there was a lady that was part of the church that I grew up in. And I remember she shared a testimony in church one time about how her whole life, her father said that she wasn't attractive. Her father just called her name after name after name after name. And she talked about how hard it was to like take that weight and to offer forgiveness. See, truth be told, most of us, rather than offering forgiveness, we try to wait it out. That's what we try to do. We try to step back and just say, well, maybe it'll all go away. Maybe it'll all settle out. Maybe things will even out. But Jesus would still say, forgive, release it, and send it away. Some of you are carrying an even greater weight. You're carrying trauma and abuse in your life, maybe emotional abuse or physical abuse or sexual abuse, or even maybe spiritual abuse. Maybe a pastor said something to you at some point, and it got you all twisted in some way, and your whole opinion about God has changed because of that. And everywhere you go, it's there. And I simply want to say, whatever it is that you're carrying today, We start by saying, what is it that I need to release? What is it that I need to let go? Whatever it is that happened to you, I'm sorry that it happened. Whatever it is that they said to you, I'm sorry that they said it to you. It's not right. It's not okay. But I hope that today is a day where you can start by saying, what is it that I have in my life, that hurt that's been done to me, that I need to name so that I can release it, forgive, and send it away? But there's a second Greek word, and this is a really great Greek word. Here's this Greek word. The Greek word is the word that Paul uses when he writes in the New Testament. And the Greek word here is the word harsomai. Harsomai, I believe, is how you say it. And harsomai means that you take the grace that you have been given and you give it to somebody else. You take the grace that you've been given and you give it to somebody else. This is a picture of the cross. We go to the cross and we realize that Christ was hanging on the cross for us, that it was grace that he offers to us. It was forgiveness that he offers to us. It was hope that he offers to us. And we go to the cross and we realize he's offering grace to us. And because of that, we can then offer it to someone else. We go to the cross and we realize how forgiven we are. And then we realize we can forgive somebody else as well. I posted yesterday afternoon, I posted online, I said, what is the hardest part about forgiveness, on my Facebook wall? As of this morning, over 50 people had commented on that post. Now, I posted a lot of things like, hey, moving to Hayward, not nearly as many posts. Or, hey, front page news. How many of you saw the newspaper this week? Oh, my word, it must have been a slow news week. And so, hey, moving to Hayward, you know, not as many comments. There were a lot of comments, but not as many. I post, what's the hardest part about forgiveness? Over 50 people comment. And one person said, you know, the hardest part about forgiveness is the forgiving part. That's the hardest part about forgiveness. I thought, that's true. Because we realize how much grace we've received, but we say, how do I give that to somebody else? If I give grace to somebody else, what if they come back at me? What if they hurt me again? What if they wrong me again? For some of us, the hardest part of forgiveness is receiving forgiveness from God. We know that Christ died on the cross for our sins, but to say, have you really forgiven me? Have you really offered forgiveness to me? Now, whatever place you're at in life, I want you to know that forgiveness is not only a good idea, but it's possible. It's possible through the person and power of Jesus Christ. And it's possible through these three words that are on the screen. You say, how do you forgive? These are the three kind of, don't think of it as steps. Think of it almost like three kind of circles. If you were to draw them on a page, that as you work through forgiveness, you're able to walk through kind of these circles on a page. One would be the cross. Forgiveness starts with the cross. You cannot fully forgive until you realize how forgiven you are at the cross. It starts by acknowledging that what Christ did on the cross was enough. That when Christ prayed, Father, forgive them, he's saying to us, we can pray and say the same. And he's saying, I'm offering forgiveness to you, grace to you, and forgiveness to you, and hope to you. It starts at the cross. So when this week, when you're wronged, and somebody may wrong you this week, when you get dinged up a little bit or you get slighted in some way, go back. Whoops, I nearly went back to the cross myself. Go back to the cross. This stool and I'm telling you what, we're going to go to war. We're going to have a great big bonfire sometime this summer, and I'm going to throw this broken stool in it, I'll tell you right now. So you go back to the cross. Go back to the cross and what Jesus has done for you there. Maybe it's by singing a song. Maybe it's by reading a passage of scripture. But go back to the cross. Here's the second part of forgiveness, though. And it's this word, release. Now, this is the hard part. Now, for some of you, maybe the cross was the hard part. But release is a hard part. The more you sit at the cross, the more you realize that Christ has done something for you. And you can release it. You can release what it is that's been given to you. You can say, you know what? I'm not going to play by the world's standards. I'm not going to say, well, the world says don't forgive, so I won't forgive. No, you can say, you know what? I'm going to release this. I'm not going to wait until like this person does something. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to release this. It's the picture of releasing something and then sending it away. Sending it away. Now you say, well, what does that mean? How do you send it away? Let me give you a picture of this. This Steve Carter that I first heard talk about these three words and these two Greek words. Steve Carter said that he sat down one day and he thought, how can I send this away? And he wrote out four letters with all the wrongs that people had ever done for him, things that he needed to forgive people for. He just wrote it all in a letter, and then he mailed it to the North Pole. He had just addressed it to the North Pole. You try doing that. He just sent it to, can you imagine opening mail at the North Pole and like Steve Carter's writing out this letter, like here's everything this person ever, man, Steve is messed up, you know, like Steve's having a hard day. He mailed it to the North Pole. I heard somebody else once say to me, here's what I did. I went to the lake, Lake Michigan, and I wrote down all of these things on rocks and I threw them into the lake. I released it and I sent it away. Or remember in a far less theological way, anybody ever remember the movie Forrest Gump? Forrest Gump, very, very accurate spiritual movie. And remember, Jenny grew up in a really hard house. Jenny grew up in a really rough home. And there's this scene where Jenny's throwing rocks at the house. She grew up in an abusive house and all of those things. And she's throwing rocks at the house and through the front window of the house she grew up in. And Forrest says, sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. Remember that? Jenny was releasing it and sending it away. So for some of you, you may need to burn it. You may need to bury it. You may need to send it to the North Pole. You may need to put a stamp on it and mail it and say, I forgive you. I have a good friend. His name is Phil Heller. Phil is as good and godly a man as I know. And Phil was my pastor for the last while here in Noblesville. He was one of the pastors at the church, and his title, he was kind of an executive pastor, but he didn't call himself an executive pastor. And I said to Phil one day, I said, Phil, why don't you call yourself the executive pastor? Like, this is a big church. There's like 3,000 people in this church. Why aren't you the executive pastor? And Phil said, I'm from Kentucky, Chad. And he said, there's no executive anything in Kentucky. He said, there aren't any executives, so I'm just a pastor here. That's all I am. Phil's the same guy who told me that the difference between a zoo in Kentucky and a zoo in Indiana is that when you go to a zoo in Indiana, it has the name of the animal on the cage. And then when you go to a zoo in Kentucky, it has the name of the animal on a cage and a recipe underneath it in Kentucky. I love Phil. I mean, I love Phil. I told Phil that he has a standing invitation to preach in this church. Like, anytime you're bored, Phil, and you want to come, like, you just call and I'll let you preach, man. Like, I love Phil. One day I was talking to Phil about forgiveness, and Phil told me a story about a time that he had been hurt so deeply, and he had been hurt by the church really, really deeply. I mean, and it marked him. It was bad. And he had gone to this conference, and at this conference, the speaker's ranting about forgiveness, and he said he had heard so many talks about forgiveness, but on that day, he knew he had to do something about it. And so during the break, he just wrote out this letter to this person of all of the things that they had done. And he's like, this happened, this, you did this, you said this, you treated me in this way. And then at the end, he said, I forgive you for all of this. And then he like has this letter and he goes out to the counter and he's like, do you have an envelope? Like the guest services counter in this church. He says, do you have an envelope? And they gave him an envelope. He said, do you have a stamp? And they were like, no, we don't have any stamps here. We're not a post office. And he's like, ah. They said, but you go across the way, there's like a post office out there outside. And so he goes outside the church. True story, he says. He walks out of this church and the person that he wrote the letter to was standing right there. And I was like, whoa, man. Like, I said, what did you do? Did you read him the letter? He said, are you kidding me? He said, I saluted and I kept on walking. And I was like, really? He said, I just said hello. I greeted him. I kind of saluted. And he said, I walked across the way. I got a stamp and I mailed him that. And he said, he never said another word to me. He never said another. He said, we haven't ever talked about it. We haven't seen each other. He never called and said, hey, thanks for the letter. That meant a lot. He didn't do that. He didn't say, oh, by the way, forgive me. You know, like, I know you're offering forgiveness. We need to ask the same of each. He didn't do that. But he said this. He said, he never said another word to me about it, but I was able to let it go. So how do you offer forgiveness? How do you find forgiveness in your heart? You go to the cross, you release it, and then you send it away. He sent it away is what he did that day. Now, here's how I want us to close today. I'd like you to bow your heads if you would. And I want you to know this has everything to do with being a disciple of Jesus. This whole thing of forgiveness has everything to do with your formation in Christ. This is deep stuff today. And here's what I want you to reflect on today. What is it in your life that you need to name today? That you would say, I desperately need to forgive that person for this thing. Whatever that thing is, I need to forgive that person. And what is it today, how is it today that you need to release it? Maybe you need to write it down on a letter. Maybe you need to put a stamp on that letter and mail it to the North Pole or the South Pole for that matter. Maybe today you simply need to tell someone you know and love and trust, not to relive the whole thing, but to say that today you're naming it and you want to release it. And so in sharing it, you're able to release it. And then just to send it away. More than anything, I hope that today you would find yourself at the cross and realize that what Christ has done for you is enough. That his forgiveness is enough. And when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, they didn't stop in that moment. They kept doing it, and then they cast lots for his clothes. And so here's how I want us to close today. I want to give you just a moment of quiet, just to say, God, would you help me to forgive? We've all been hurt. We've all been wronged in some way. So Jesus, help us to know first and foremost how loved we are by you. Help us to release whatever wrong it is that's been done against us. And help us to send it away. To know that at the foot of the cross we can find life in you today. I'd like us to stand together. And I want to invite you today. Pastor Loretta is going to be here on this side. I'll be here on this side. We're going to sing a song in closing. And today, if you would say, you know what, I would just appreciate this special prayer today, maybe about what we've talked about or something else. As we sing together, you can come either to Pastor Loretta's side or my side. All we're going to do is say, how can we pray for you today? And then we'll have prayer together and you'll be able to return to your seat. But as we sing, I invite you to come.